with his blinker on. And a little cherry tomato to some. Rolled down North Line.
Good morning, Lexington. You're listening to Bluegrass Bios on WLXL LPFM Lexington Community Radio. We're live from Steam Academy in North Lexington. In studio, as always, is Lexington Mother Hen Sours.
Thank you.
Ben Motherboard Wolf.
Hey, guys.
And I'm Kyle Mothership Bigelow. Today is our long-awaited Mother's Day Spectacular. And we've got a full show today. Typically, we'll have two guests, sometimes one guest. Today, we have five guests, guys.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
So this is going to be fun.
Yeah, this is the show taking it to the freeway. In 5 minutes or so, we'll be talking to Ben Hawkins. He's the professor of music at Transylvania University and director of the Central Kentucky Concert Band about a free performance of a bluegrass overture at the Lexington Opera House this weekend. Then at 11:30, Laura Farnsworth, senior event coordinator at Downtown Lexington Corporation, will be dropping by to tell us about the 22nd annual Mayfest Arts Fair, also this weekend. And finally, throughout the final hour of the show, we have three very special guests appearing, in that each of them carried one of your very special co-hosts for three quarters of a year. In order of appearance will be my mother, Julie Lawrence, then Jenny Sowers, and last but certainly not least, Carla Wolf. So, okay. We've had some, I'm sensing some trepidation on the coming up with questions, maybe a little nervousness when it comes to maybe the revelatory nature of interviewing one's mother. is that what's going on here?
Yeah, just trying to keep it light, really.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm just terrified of what's going to come out of my mom's mouth.
Tell us about your mom, Lex.
My mother, she's a character.
Okay.
But, wonderful. She's taught me everything, everything that I know. But she can talk to a brick wall. We talk to lots of strangers. But kind of growing up under that, of having someone who's very, very extroverted in your life, you struggle with balancing extrovertedness and introvertedness, and knowing when to be the loudest person in the room, and it's okay to be the quietest one too.
So I'm going to ask her whatever I want to ask her, but tell me what you think that you would want your mom to talk about. What are these? Okay, so it's well documented on this show, Lexington's man troubles. So yes. So we're going to have to cover that.
I mean, she can more cover
off
them.
Air, more off air than on air.
it's ubiquitous throughout her life. But I don't want to, you know, I agree with Ben, you know, let's keep it light. My vision sort of for this show was to have kind of an honoring, while at the same time we can pull back the curtain on our in-studio hosts. How does that sound to you guys?
I
have nothing sort of like, I don't know. It'd just be like, do you remember the first time Ben scraped his knee, you know, riding a bike or something? You know what I mean? I think what is going to come out of this is, you know, you guys and even myself probably might not think that, you know, some of these moments, some of these questions, there's really kind of nothing behind it. But I would imagine that your moms, our moms, anyone's moms probably has more to say about even the little aspects of your growing up than you might be aware of. All right. First things first, though, the reason that we're having a professor of music on and who's going to be calling in about 5 minutes or so, and then later the senior event coordinator for Downtown Lexington Corporation, is because there's events going on this weekend. You know, if you want to, I guess the bare minimum at this point is like a bouquet of flowers, right?
Right.
Yeah. But there are things
at that least you can... whip up some scones or pancakes Sunday morning.
Some scones.
Scones.
Is that a sour's tradition?
Oh, we eat scones all the time.
The passing of the scones.
Okay. I mean, it's just bread.
Is it? I don't know how to make scones. Oh, all right. Well, we're going to ask. Hopefully, we'll get to ask Jenny Mowry Sowers all about scones later. In fact, I'm going to make a note of that right now. There's a couple events going on this weekend. There is a performance of a unique piece of music called A Bluegrass Overture. It's free admission, 3 p.m. at the Lexington Opera House. And the conductor, who is a very well-educated and well-known in the academic community conductor, he's the director of the Central Kentucky Concert Band, as I mentioned, and he will also be the guest conductor on this piece. So that's Sunday at 3, and then also throughout the weekend, the Mayfest Arts Fair. I've never been to one of these. Have you guys? It's at Gratz Park and around Transylvania also.
I mean, I think, isn't it just like most springtime art fairs? There's booths set up, you walk around, there's usually good food.
Well, we'll find out. Okay. I imagine that is a very foolish statement, like every arts fair.
I mean, that's typically how these things work. All right,
so how do you imagine your everyday arts fair?
It's like
face painting, right?
No. There's like booths set up, and you get to talk to the artist. It's awesome. There's usually like a band sometimes. Okay. There's food trucks or, you know, different venues that you can go. But it's awesome because you get to create a personal connection with your art versus picking it up at Hobby Lobby.
Okay. That's a good description. I like that. They're celebrating literary, visual, and performing arts at Gratz Park in Transylvania from 10 to 6 on Saturday and 11 to 5 on Sunday. Also free admission, so you're kind of you're out of excuses. Take the extra step beyond just the bouquet. Okay, so while we wait for Ben Hawkins to call in, I don't know. We want to hear that Van Halen story finally.
Oh, my Van Halen story?
Yeah, well, you're waiting for them all to die, right?
Yeah.
Okay, all right.
Well, so I have an excuse to play all of their music.
Oh, okay. And make it topical.
What was the Van Halen story? It was the brown M&M story. You were asking me why they did that.
Right.
And that was about, they had a pyrotechnic show. And so they had like this big long checklist of things they needed management to do, things they needed to set up with the stage. Otherwise, somebody would probably get hurt. And mixed in with all these instructions were, this is our phone call.
Yeah. Okay.
We're going to have to cut that short.
We're never going to get to this story. Never,
it's cursed. It's a cursed story.
All right. About to talk to Ben Hawkins. He's a professor of music at Transylvania University and director of the Central Kentucky Concert Band. They're conducting a free performance of Philip Sparks' A Bluegrass Overture at the Lexington Opera House at 3 p.m. this Mother's Day. For more information, you can go to ckcb.org. You can also like their Facebook page, and you can also join their Flickr group. How are you doing today, Ben?
Fine, thanks. How are you, Kyle?
Doing really well. Thank you for joining us. So I wanted to ask you first.
To be here. I appreciate the invitation.
Yes, sir. Could you tell us a little bit about your musical background?
My musical background.
Yeah, from academics, well, I guess.
Okay. Well, I went to undergraduate school at Texas State University and got my doctorate at Texas Tech, and I taught for 5 years in the public schools in Virginia and Texas. Came to Transylvania in 85, and I've been here ever since. So that's 31 years.
What courses do you teach at Transylvania?
Well, I conduct a band in the orchestra. I teach conducting and some music theory and some music education. In a small college, everybody does a lot of different things.
And I saw in your bio, it says you supervise all the university's instrumental ensembles, the jazz ensemble, the percussion ensemble, and the pep band. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. Yes, I'm ultimately responsible for for all of those things. Yeah.
Now I'm somewhat musically illiterate at this point in my life. Maybe you could explain how does that require several different skill sets? I mean, we're talking about a wide range of sounds there.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's important or you know necessary to have a working understanding of all of the instruments. I mean, I can play all of them, but not any of them well. Most of them not well. Most of them not very well. But you know, it's but the thing is that even though each instrument has its own personality and its own physical characteristics, you know, music is music, and things are much more alike than they are different, sort of like human beings.
Hi, Ben. This is Lexington. I don't think we have been introduced, but
I don't think so.
So tell us a little bit more about this event on Mother's Day, the Sparks performance, and kind of what went into planning that and producing it.
Well, this is the 40th anniversary concert of the group. It was founded in 1976 by one of my predecessors here at Transylvania, Pete Martin, and we wanted to do some fairly special things. We were playing at the Opera House. We usually play at Transylvania, but each May for the last, I don't know how many years, the band has performed its May concert at the Opera House, and more often than not, it's on Mother's Day. And for this concert, since it is the 40th anniversary, we're having Dr. Martin, who now lives in Maine, back down to conduct a couple of the pieces that he did during the band's first year. And we're going to, you know, honor some of our former conductors and former members, and just basically celebrate the fact that that this group that means a lot to all of us that are involved with it has managed to survive for 40 years.
Wow. Tell us a little bit about Philip Sparks, A Bluegrass Overture. It sounds to me like there might be some bluegrass or more traditional music roots. Is that true or absolutely wrong?
No, it's neat. Well, I would say neither, actually. It's, I mean, since it's a you know, piece for wind band, so, I mean, you don't get, the instruments make different sounds just idiomatically than bluegrass instruments do, you know. Yes. However, I definitely think there is some characterization of a bluegrass sounds within the piece. I wouldn't say that it's you know, that it's the defining characteristic of the piece, but it certainly, if you have bluegrass music in your mind when you hear this overture, you probably will pick up a couple of references to it.
How does that work, I guess, in creating a piece, in encapsulating a place, and translating that into music?
Oh, well, that's a question about which, you know, many, many thousands of pages have been written over the centuries. You know, what music means to us is such an individual thing, for each of us, and a musical reference to, a person or a place or an idea or a feeling, is based largely on the individual's, you know, previous experiences and what connections, you know, she or he is able to make with that. And in in the case of this particular piece, I would think, you know, that what I mean is some of the harmonic sounds, it opens up with some open intervals that you might associate with the fiddle or the banjo, but on the other hand, you know, not, because wind instruments sound a lot different. But the actual musical content, I suspect the composer, Philip Sparky, had some notion of those sounds in his head when he began the piece. That would be one thing. So it basically depends on what the listener brings to hearing new music, as to what, you know, what meaning you take out of it.
Speaking of that meaning and what you take into it, it is on Mother's Day, so it's, mm-hmm. it's a great opportunity. But how has your mother inspired you through music?
Well, you know, that's I was delighted when y'all suggested that you might ask that question, because you know, my mother obviously meant a great deal to me. I'm sorry to say she's been gone for some time now, but she was, in addition to being my mom and all of the memories and feelings with that evokes, she was also my first band director. She started me. I didn't follow in my father's footsteps professionally. I followed in my mother's. And some of my earliest memories are of tagging along with her when she was conducting her high school band and taking them to march in parades and things like that. So, those early memories come back to me in various, at various times for various reasons. And they certainly still affect me today. And Mother's Day is to be conducting a band concert on Mother's Day is for me maybe a little more meaningful than it would be for some people.
We're talking to Ben Hawkins. He's the professor of music at Transylvania University, director of the Central Kentucky Concert Band. He's also going to be conducting a bluegrass overture this Sunday at the Lexington Opera House at 3 p.m. This is a free, is that right? Free concert?
We will not hesitate to ask for donations, but there is no admission charge.
Okay. All right. And for more information, you can go to ckcb.org, like their Facebook page, or join their Flickr group to see pictures. Ben, can you tell us a little bit more about this Phil Sparky? He's a English gent, correct?
Yes, he is. He's a internationally renowned British composer. He got his start mostly in composing for brass band. There may be some folks here in Lexington who are listening who are aware of a group called the Lexington Brass Band, which is another excellent group here in town that it's composed exclusively of brass instruments as opposed to our band, which is a concert band and comprises woodwinds as well as brass and percussion. But Sparky has also written for orchestra and a lot for concert band. One of our members, Gabriel Woolley, sort of got a bee in his bonnet a couple of years ago and wanted to do something special, and he pursued Mr. Sparky and inquiring about the possibility of commissioning this piece for us to it's dedicated to us. We paid paid his commissioning fee, and where this performance on Sunday will be its premier performance, world premiere performance. And Gabe is a great, as a musician, it's totally avocational for him. He has a day job, but he's a young man who knows, I have said, and truthfully, probably more band music than I do, with all of my years of experience. And I depend on him. He makes good suggestions for, pieces to fill out concert programs that I'm trying to put together, and he's really, really a fan in the truest sense of the word, an amateur in the truest sense of the word, a lover of band music, and so he actually got the whole thing set up, and then the question, of course, was, and that was actually before I became the music director at the beginning of this is my second full academic year as music director on my second go around. I was also in one earlier stint, but anyway, so that was already rolling when I took over, and then in looking for funding, we had another member of the band, Leslie Anderson, who's a longtime member and a former band director himself and a principal, elementary school principal, and just a really vital and energetic and generous person, and he put up the money for the commission. So it's really the contributions, he and his wife Kathy, the contributions of two of our band members who have brought this piece to life and given us the chance to premiere it as a part of our celebration.
How many band members are going to be performing on Sunday, Ben?
I believe at the moment, it does. It's a community group. It's an amateur group, so it fluctuates. But I think there'll be 72 or 73 on this concert.
Have they found the piece challenging?
Yes. Yeah, it's got a lot of notes, first of all. I mean, it's really, well... which again would be something you might attribute to you know, its relationship with bluegrass music, or may have suggested itself to the composer. You know, I mean, if you listen to Foggy Mountain Breakdown or something, you know, the banjo and the fiddle and everybody's playing a lot of notes, and this piece has a lot of notes. It's really it's fast, and it's busy, and it's cheerful, and it's energetic, and yeah, so we've, you know, it's certainly been a challenge for us, but I feel like we're going to be ready at least by Sunday.
We're on with Ben Hawkins. He's a professor of music at Transylvania University, director of the Central Kentucky Concert Band in his second year. They're conducting a free performance of Philip Sparky's A Bluegrass Overture at the Lexington Opera House at 3 p.m. this Mother's Day. For more information, go to ckcb.org, like their Facebook page, or join their Flickr group. Thanks for coming on with us, Ben.
This would be my pleasure. I appreciate the chance.
If you could tell our audience one more time why they should go to the Lexington Opera House on Sunday.
Well, there's a lot of reasons, but one reason is the Opera House is a great venue. I mean, anything that you hear at the Opera House is because of the surroundings, I think makes it a special experience. But the Central Kentucky Concert Band is, you know, we're not as well known as some other institutions in town because I think largely because the people in the band do it exclusively for their own pleasure, and also concert bands just don't have the same cultural niche as symphony orchestras or jazz or country or you know, whatever. But I would encourage people to come out and give us a listen, because I think if they don't know what to expect, they'll be pleasantly surprised. It's a very energetic group. Many of our players are of professional level, and the others are very close. So you know, I like to think that we give exciting and moving performances.
Thank you, sir. Have a great show.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
All right, we are Bluegrass Bios. We'll be right back in a minute with Laura Farnsworth of Downtown Lexington Corp. Lexington, we're back on the air. You're listening to Bluegrass Bios on WLXL LPFM Lexington Community Radio. We're still live from STEAM Academy in North Lexington, and to continue our Mother's Day spectacular, we have in studio Laura Farnsworth. She's the Senior Event Coordinator for the Downtown Lexington Corporation, or DLC, which I'll probably refer to it as from here on out. Thanks for coming in and talking to us today, Laura.
Guys, thanks so much for having me. I'm thrilled to be here.
I was wondering if you could first tell us a little bit about the Mayfest Arts Fair this weekend.
The Mayfest Arts Fair is a springtime tradition, you know, in Lexington, specifically on the north side of town. It's held at Gratz Park in the Morrison Lawn of Transylvania University. This is our 22nd year, and it really just keeps getting better year to year. We'll have arts and crafts vendors, live music on an entertainment stage both days, food vendors, and all kinds of stuff for families.
What kind of live music?
Gosh, where do I start? Well, the steel drum band from STEAM Academy, they'll be there. They're one of my favorites.
From
they're
here?
So good. Yes, they're so good. They play Taylor Swift, and I love them. But
I hear them playing that in the gym sometimes when I walk in, I swear.
I would like to know when practice is so that I can come sit in. They're so good. But just all kinds of, you know, folk, bluegrass, a lot of dance groups, Chinese dancing schools. A couple of those will bring their students down, which is really cool because then the parents can come and see the children on stage, you know, surrounded by, you know, people in an atmosphere that typically you probably don't see, you know, outside.
Is it always held on Mother's Day weekend?
It is. And fortunately or unfortunately, depending on how you look at it, this year we coincide with Derby. It has happened before, but we're committed to keeping it Mother's Day weekend. It's such a Mother's Day tradition for people both in Lexington and Central Kentucky that we couldn't imagine doing it any other time.
And how long have you been with the DLC?
I've been there for almost 9 years.
Really?
Yeah.
And do you all, how often have you been involved with Mayfest every year?
I have.
Okay. How have you seen it kind of grow or change or evolve?
It's really evolved in the type of arts and crafts that you see there year to year. That market has changed a lot with online sales and, you know, a lot of these vendors having brick and mortar. So you see a lot of younger craft vendors, you know, that are kind of putting their skills to work and coming out there. So that's really cool. We've also pumped up what we do to bring families down. So we're working with the Explorium. They'll be providing free children's activities both days. The Explorium is, of course, Lexington's Children's Museum down in the square. They'll have crafts that children can do for free and then, you know, give to their mother for Mother's Day, which is sweet. Bubbles, sidewalk chalk, all the stuff that, you know, really keeps the little ones interested.
Did you go to festivals like this, arts fairs, when you were a kid?
I did. I'm actually from Bardstown, and they have a big arts and crafts festival every year down there. And I just remember my mom and I would get up and on Saturday mornings before my siblings were awake and go down and see what they had and get kettle corn and watch the cloggers. And it's a really sweet memory.
We're talking to Laura Farnsworth. She's a senior event coordinator at the DLC. It's a nonprofit member-based organization whose focus is to promote and advocate for our members and downtown Lexington. That's quote-unquote from the website. They're putting on the Mayfest Arts Fair, celebrating the literary, visual, and performing arts at Gratz Park and Transylvania University from 10 to 6 on Saturday and 11 to 5 on Sunday. For more information, you can go to downtownlex.com, like their Facebook page, or follow them on Instagram and Twitter. What other events does the DLC put on, Laura?
Well, our signature event is Central Bank Thursday Night Live. That happens down.
That's you guys.
That's us. So we do that every Thursday, May through October. We're 4 weeks in, and that's a really cool time, you know, to get downtown, and people do bring their families. There's a lot of young professionals. It's a really unique mix of people. So
how long? Okay, so this is one of these things that I break into occasionally because I'm not a local of Lexington. How long has Thursday Night Live been going on?
21 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. What are some of the challenges to putting on, I mean, any kind of an event of that size?
Well, we're kind of landlocked in the Fifth Third Bank Pavilion area. We've got the historic courthouse on one side that's going to undergo a really intense renovation this fall and or summer, really. It's right in front of us. But so that's kind of the biggest thing is how do you get that many people that want to come to something, you know, and stay comfortable? So we kind of deal with it as we can. We take up, you know, little space here and there, but it's definitely unique to Lexington. And the Fifth Third Bank Pavilion itself, the structure is pretty critical to the success of the event. It's permanent rain shelter. So in the event.
You went to UK, correct?
I did.
How did you get involved with this kind of logistical work? Just a love of events?
A love of events. I was going to law school up until the day I was like, I can't do this. This isn't me. And so I fell into events with the Chamber of Commerce here in Lexington. Thought that was really cool. And then when the opportunity to do free outdoor, you know, public events through DLC arose, I was all over it.
And what are some of the events, I mean, other than Mayfest and the Thursday Night Live, do you look forward to on an annual basis or regular basis?
Well, we do Lexington's 4th of July Festival, which brings a lot of different people down for a lot of different events. The Patriotic Concert at Transy, the Bluegrass 10,000, which is celebrating its 40th anniversary this year, the 10K. We do a movie series in Triangle Park in July and August where we, on an outdoor inflatable screen, we'll show different films. This year, we're showing a lot of films that are celebrating milestone anniversaries, so that's pretty cool. And we do the Unified Trust Company Ice Rink in Triangle Park, and that is a money date right there. If you need a date idea, that's where it's at.
Say that again? I'm going to need to write that down.
Yes, the Unified Trust Company Ice Rink in Triangle Park.
Okay.
It's only during the winter months, though. So you've got time to get your date.
Yeah, I'll need that much time. We're on with Laura Farnsworth of the DLC. For more information about those events, go to downtownlex.com or follow them throughout social media. What kind of... There's over 100 venues at this year's Mayfest Arts Fair. What kind of mediums are we talking about here? Sculptures, paintings, attire?
Yes, to all of the above. There's a lot of jewelry, both high-end and then, you know, more affordable. One thing we kind of pitch Mayfest as is that there's something for everyone. And, you know, you could have a young child that wants to come down and buy something sweet for a Mother's Day gift. You can have someone who's looking for more, you know, high-end art, jewelry, painting, pottery, woodworking, which has become a really popular medium the past couple of years. So it's really, some shows are very high-end. This one's kind of middle of the road with high and, you know, and both. It's a great opportunity to kind of soak up the atmosphere. Gratz Park is a lovely, you know, beautiful place, really a hidden gem in downtown Lexington, if I can be corny for a second. A lot of people don't realize it's there, but they do a great job of keeping it, you know, up to date. We actually don't have anything in the park proper, so people can, you know, lie in the grass or sit, you know, with their children, that kind of thing. So it's really cool.
That's awesome.
And there's food and drink, like you said, you know, if... Where can you go that you could have, you know, a gyro and a Kentucky ale and look at, you know, art?
Yes. It really creates a good family and a good community experience. While also, you know, the arts community is important in Lexington, and it's something that Lexington is very proud of. So you're starting at a young age. You're starting as a family to really experience what Lexington is all about.
Exactly. Lexington is such a special community, and people in this town and the surrounding towns really get behind, you know, what we do, and we just couldn't be more thankful for that.
There's stages here too, right? I'm seeing, first of all, I don't know what a strolling performer is. You might have to explain that one to me.
Oh, a banjo player that just walks around, okay. Or sometimes a guitarist. Okay. We usually have a balloon clown that will come and do, you know, fun little things like that for the kids. So just something to kind of keep the flow and keep a little music on that end of in the Gratz Park area.
Okay, that's fantastic. Any kind of interpretive dance going on there? Anything crazy like that?
I mean, I'm not going to stop that if it happens.
So if I show up and just start dancing, then that would be okay?
I'm going to be like, yeah, I recognize that guy, I think. So I'm not sure what's happening, but I like it.
We're on with Laura Farnsworth. She's a senior event coordinator at Downtown Lexington Corporation. For more information about the Mayfest Arts Fair this weekend, go to downtownlex.com, their Facebook page, or Instagram, or Twitter. Okay, so Laura... I want to thank you for coming on with us today, first of all. What else do people need to know about the Mayfest Arts Fair to get them to go this weekend?
One thing we always hear about is parking.
Okay.
You got to address it.
Okay.
There's so much parking downtown. Think about, you go to Fayette Mall, so you park out by Macy's and you're going to Dick's Sporting Goods. I promise you that you can park closer to Mayfest parking downtown in one of the garages or surface lots than you would if you went to the mall.
Okay.
It's maybe 2 or 3 blocks down to, you know, the Main Street area. All the meters are free on the weekends. And then the garages and surface lots are like $3 or $4.
Okay. So that problem has been remedied.
It has. And, okay. You know, if anybody... wants to see maps or anything, lexpark.org, the city's parking authority. They have an excellent, you know, program set up where you could prepay to park in a garage or just find where you're going before you get down here.
I actually like this question because I do tend to get into the logistics whenever we have people who are coordinators come in here. What are some of the other problems with, is it permits or noise? I guess it doesn't go on too late, but... scheduling performers, finding people, like, is it a self-selecting group or do you have to go out and find people? What are some of the challenges to this?
We're pretty fortunate that as the event grows each year, we have a reputation of producing a good event without sounding too you know, yeah. We're humble, I promise. But so, you know, we have an application that we put out for a month or so, and the arts and crafts section is juried. We do have a, you know, professional jury that goes through and picks what works best for the event, and then kind of the same with the musicians. So it's really, that kind of takes care of itself. We have a membership with several food vendors, and, you know, they are more than happy to come out for the weekend. We try and keep that number low, just to kind of maximize what, you know, you'll go to some shows and it's every potential food you could think of. But I'd rather, you know, everyone sell 100 things than 100 people sell one thing on the food. So we look for, you know, diverse menus.
So,
and beer.
yeah, necessity. What is the layout again then? Because from looking at your website, it says Gratz Park and Transylvania University. But you, as you said, there's not going to be anything actually on the grounds at Gratz Park. So where are all these vendors actually going to be physically occupying?
So we will close Mill and Market Street between 2nd and 3rd.
Okay.
So basically just that block. And the vendors will be in the street. And then the food vendors will be up on 3rd Street, right adjacent to the Morrison Lawn at Transy, mm-hmm. where the entertainment stage will be.
Now, so the vendors, they don't have to pay to be a part of this, right?
They do, but it's really minimal. It's to really? Cover things like advertising costs, you know, security.
Okay.
That kind of thing.
Okay. Now, do you take donations or volunteers, or how does it work at DLC?
We are a small but mighty staff with a handful of interns. So, you know, we have a foundation that one of the tenets includes multicultural activities. So we'll get donations kind of through that. But overall, I mean, small and mighty. Just happy to be there.
Is that the motto?
With a lot of really good support from the city of Lexington, Parks and Recreation, police, streets and roads, waste management. They're really phenomenal partners with us. So,
what's the weather look like this weekend? Are we expecting something?
It's going to be gorgeous.
Yeah?
It's supposed to be gorgeous. This is the first Mayfest in several years where it hasn't been somewhat sketchy looking. So,
how do you deal with that then? I mean, a lot of plastic tarps, I guess, when...
You just do, yeah. I mean, there's no getting around it. It is what it is. That's kind of our motto. You know, we live and die by the weather across all of our events. And so if it rains, everybody just hunkers down for a while. Nothing lasts forever. So we get through it.
So there's no excuse to not come out is what you're saying?
There really isn't. One year, a few years ago, it rained all day Sunday. It started at about 9. It rained until about 5.
Wow.
And we still had people out there. It's just, you know, an umbrella. It's Mother's Day. What, are you going to leave your mother in the house or something?
Right.
No, come out.
and one more time, the kids' activities, right? If a family's got sort of little ones but still wants to go grab a Kentucky ale and kind of sit back and watch them get their faces painted or something, like what are the children's activities over there?
So we will have, you know, face painting, different crafts that, you know, kids can do. I'm not exactly sure what those are yet. They usually just surprise me, you know, pipe cleaners and that kind of thing.
Right.
All of that is free or donation based. And then for a really small fee, we'll have a bounce house, pony rides, of course, and then a man that owns his own pirate ship that like swings back and forth like at the amusement park.
That's awesome.
Yeah, his name is Captain Carlos, and he is awesome.
Shout out to Captain Carlos.
That's for all ages, by the way. I've been on it. So there's nothing to worry about there. That's like, it's like $3, and you get an eye patch. So
so you can buy your mom flowers, a necklace, and then take her on a pirate ship this Sunday.
You get an eye patch.
And get an eye
it's
patch.
It's well worth it.
She's Laura Farnsworth. She's a senior event coordinator for Downtown Lexington Corporation, a nonprofit member-based organization whose focus is to promote and advocate for members and downtown Lexington. It's Mayfest Arts Fair this weekend at Gratz Park and Transylvania University, 10 to 6 on Saturday, 11 to 5 on Sunday. Admission is free. Children's activities, concessions, young artists, performers. I might be there dancing. You never know. For more information, you can go to downtownlex.com, like their Facebook page, or follow them on Instagram and Twitter. Thank you for coming in today, Laura.
Thank you so much for having me. Really appreciate it.
We're Bluegrass Bios. We'll be right back on WLXL LPFM Lexington Community Radio.